much. It's a blessing to be able to travel together as a family. We are thankful for that opportunity to do that. I want to thank you so much, church family, for your faithfulness this evening. Regardless of the day that you have had, thank you so much for being faithful to God's house, faithful to the Word of God, and I pray that the message tonight would be a blessing to you, a challenge that would leave us changed for the glory of God. Before I go any further, I want to say thank you so much for being so sweet to our family in so many different ways, from the privilege of meeting you, the opportunity to have conversations with so many of you, to have cinnamon, vanilla, light, amber, regular, dark, maple syrup flowing through my veins tonight. So who knows? I mean, I might get a little bit more excited than usual, and also some very good meals that we've been able to enjoy with Pastor and his dear bride. We're so thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here with you this week. Thank you for allowing us the privilege. If you would you take God's word with me and turn to Acts chapter 5? Here in Acts chapter 5, I simply want to remind you of a couple in the Bible that did not live for the glory of God in a moment, and it changed their lives. But it also was a moment where great fear came upon the church. I'm going to read through some of the verses, and then we're ultimately going to look at another couple tonight in the scriptures to challenge us with our main thought, of which I'll introduce here in just a second. We do want to thank you for the attention that you have given to Rachel's CDs. And if there's anyone else who's interested in those, please take some time to speak with her afterwards about them. Notice with me what the Word of God says in Acts 5, beginning in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And can I pause right there and say, Ananias and Sapphira, they're about to find out how spiritual this life is. So much more than they were to give it credit for. Notice what it says in verse 5. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. This simply means he passed away. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and with every step toward the house of God, there was something that was not right in her heart between God with her husband. They had been part of this deception and lying to the Holy Ghost. This says in verse 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. You know what God is doing at this moment? He is giving her a space of grace. He is showing her a little bit of mercy to answer a little bit differently, to tell the truth. It says in verse 9, then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And I wonder if in simplicity tonight, we could be part of that category, that in the simple reading of this historical account, the proper fear of the Lord would come upon us. And it would challenge us to be genuine. It would challenge us to be honest. It would challenge us to be truthful to the Lord and to those around us for the most holy faith. I'd like you to turn to the right to Acts 16, and I want to introduce you to you an entirely different couple in the Bible. We believe that an individual testimony is wonderful. And how many times in the Bible do we find individuals who live for God as well as individuals who did not? And we have just read about a married couple that did not honor God to their deathbed. But I'm going to introduce to you another couple, a couple that was sweet together, a couple that God used in a phenomenal way. And I would like to preach on being helpers in Christ Jesus, because either we are helpers or we are not. Notice what it says in Acts 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, and born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with Priscilla, his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and he came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. This is a very simple reading of a very simple beginning, the introduction to a couple that would literally be used by God, not just to influence Paul, but to influence the church of Jesus Christ. And I would like to ask you, as we consider both of these parties tonight, the simple reading of Ananias and Sapphira, and then now the preaching on Aquila and Priscilla, are we going to have a pattern after those that passed away, deceiving and being deceived? Or are we going to have a pattern of helpers in Christ, a pattern that ministers to this world that Christ has changed us? Christ has set us free, and we want to be an example to this world of the light that's shed abroad in our own hearts. Let's pray together and ask the Lord for His help this evening. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before You, and we think of Everett with everything going on tomorrow, and we think of Lane with his detached retina, and we think of Miss Eileen with what's coming up for her knee very soon, and we're asking that You would touch each of these and so many other requests that have been added and have been lifted up prior. We pray that You would make Your name known in each of them. And right now, we are asking that we would be able to set aside distractions, that we would be able to solely focus on Your Word, that in the sincerity of this moment, You would challenge us, You would change us, and help our testimony to be the testimony of being helpers in Christ Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people prayed and said, Amen. First of all, I want you to see that this couple was available. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon that went down in history for saying, the best ability is availability. And we get what he is teaching and what he is saying, just the simplicity of being willing to be available to whatever is before you. And when I look at this couple and see how available they were when they met Paul, I understand that they were available through difficult days. If you look at the parentheses in verse 1, because that Claudius hath commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Now, I live in Illinois, and we've got something going on in Illinois. Nobody wants to stay in Illinois, it seems. It's something to do with our government and the way things are being handled within our state. And it's like pulling teeth to try to get somebody to stick around when there's greener pastures on another side. But I can tell you something, I've never been in a situation before where my government kicked me out because of my nationality or who I was in my birth. Could you imagine being Aquila and Priscilla in a situation where they lived in a particular area and this man named Claudius says, all right, if you're a Jew, you've got to get out of here. There was a command to leave. Now, friends, I don't understand everything about Aquila and Priscilla at this moment. I don't know if they're about to be introduced to Jesus Christ through Paul, or if Paul is going to meet another set of believers, and together their fellowship is going to be strengthened. Either way, however it happened, we see that this couple was available through a very difficult time. And I want to challenge you, no matter what difficult day you are facing, be available to be used by God. Stop to be able to see the need that is in front of you. And when you think about the ministry of Jesus Christ, it is easy to say, well, that was Jesus. But if you begin to study how busy he was from need to need, miracle to miracle, having to depart into a solitary place just to pray, Jesus was the one who was at work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work, Jesus testified. And he was busy doing the Father's will. And as we consider availability, there might be some difficult days that we have, but in those difficult days or difficult moments, you might find that God gives you an opportunity to minister to somebody else, to be able to extend the love of God to them. Now again, I understand, I don't know the full background story to Aquila and Priscilla up until this point. But just think about how available they were through this hard time of their move. And then think about how hospitable they were to God's man. Notice what it says in verse 3. And because he, Paul, was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. God has a way of bringing people together. And in this story, bringing them together to either receive Christ or bringing them together to receive amplified encouragement and fellowship with one of God's choice men in that day. And it was all linked together because of the workplace, because of something they were like-minded in. Never discount how God wants to use you in your workplace, wherever it is at. Never discount how God wants to use you with some kind of craft or ability that God has given to you. I remember back in the days of skateboarding through Pensacola, there were opportunities for me to witness to those who enjoyed the same thing I did. But one of the things I couldn't stand in that day was all of the complaining that skateboarders did. And this was the complaining that they did. Oh, I can't skateboard in those shoes. Oh, I can't skateboard in that style of clothes or those pants. I'm like, give me a break. If you can skate, you can skate. So I went down to the Waterfront Rescue Mission in Pensacola, Florida, and just because, I bought a suit. And I took that suit, I had a tie as well, and I went through Pensacola skateboarding in a suit. And would you believe it? Here I am, I'm skateboarding through Pensacola, and as I'm skateboarding through Pensacola, I pass a skateboard. They, hey, whoa, what are you doing? I'd swing around on my skateboard and I talk with them. They say, what in the world are you wearing? I said, I'm wearing a suit. Why are you wearing a suit? I'm so glad you asked. Well, I'm down here in Pensacola studying to be a preacher. You know what that is? And then it just opened the door, opened the opportunity. Obviously, they could see that we enjoyed some of the same things, and God brought a connection there. Can you think back in your days how God has brought people across your path, either because of what you do and they came to you for what you do, or because you were of the same craft or likeness, and all of a sudden, here's an opportunity to be able to share Jesus Christ with them. I told you on Sunday morning a golf illustration with my brother in Jamaica. Probably one of the longest gospel opportunities to talk about Jesus with somebody was a native man in the state of Alaska when it was almost 50 degrees, drizzling rain, and there was a situation on the golf course where the native man golfing with me said, "Justin, here comes the head pro. I want you to meet him. I think he'll like you." And the native goes, "Hey, head pro, this is Justin." And he said something about my golf game. And then he said, "Justin is a preacher." Thinking that the head pro would appreciate that, the head pro looked at me, didn't say hi, didn't say a word. He said, "Do you believe Jesus Christ came to die for some, or that Jesus Christ came to die for all?" And I said, "Well, the Bible says." That man said, "I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say." And eventually, I mean, very quickly, that conversation was cut. I was kind of discouraged at that moment. But after that, it hurled the native man into a question. I can't believe that guy treated you like that. Justin, what was he talking about? I'm so glad you asked. And so we would hit our golf balls, and then the native man would say, "I have never met somebody like you who believes like you do. Justin, what does the word faith mean?" Blank slate. Opportunity. The only thing he had ever known about religion was his great-grandfather, who was a native way up in Alaska, and his great-grandfather was denied bishopric in the Russian Orthodox Church because he was a native. And therefore, within the family, there was bitterness passed down, nothing to do with religion. This native that I was speaking to was a blank slate, hole after hole, shot after shot. "Tell me about Jesus." Seeds planted, seeds watered. Guys, I'm telling you, when you are available to be used of God wherever you are at, God will open up some pretty amazing doors for you to be able to share the truth of Jesus Christ or meet some people that can influence you and you can influence them. They were hospitable to God's man through the like-mindedness in their work. And then get this, it goes even further. Notice what it says in Acts 18, and scan down a few verses to verse 18. It comes time for Paul to leave, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed into Syria. And notice this, with him Priscilla and Aquila. This is the married couple we are talking about. This is the couple who are going to have the tagline over them, the testimony over them, helpers in Christ Jesus. It all begins with their availability through a tough time. It continues with their hospitality toward the man of God through a like-mindedness in something they did, earthly or secular. And all of a sudden, it comes down to this man, Paul, saying, "Guys, it's time for me to leave the brethren. It's time for me to go." There was a longer period that Paul was with them, and as Paul ministered unto them, God was doing great things in the community. But as Paul chose, and as Paul was led to leave, there was a couple that said, "We believe God is leading us to move with you." Think for just a second the type of commitment this takes to uproot where you have rooted, to make a move with somebody, to be able to say, "You know what? We appreciate your ministry to us." Again, whether they got saved underneath his ministry or whether they were just united together as brethren and God started stirring something, here is an opportunity to unite with the man of God and continue serving with him. They were available to even move with God's man, and Aquila and Priscilla go down in a very simple way in history. At this point, they were simply willing. They were simply available. And I want to challenge every one of us this evening with the testimony of Aquila and Priscilla. And maybe it's our marriages. Together in our marriages, let's be available to serve God. Let's be willing to say yes to those opportunities. Maybe we're not married in here. Maybe we have an opportunity to say, you know what? One day I want to be married. And when I get married, I would love to have the blessing and the privilege of being able to serve together. Aquila and Priscilla are over and over again mentioned in the Bible as this power couple that was God's. They were available and willing to do whatever God was leading them to do. What a wonderful example. But we consider something else about Aquila and Priscilla. Right here in chapter 18, we see that not only were they available, but they were disciplined. And I want to mention a couple disciplines that they had. Notice what it says, beginning in verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when, here's our couple, Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. As we talk about certain spiritual disciplines in our life, let's be mindful that Aquila and Priscilla were disciplined in faithfulness to fellowship together in God's house in their day. Over and over again, they would meet together in places like synagogues and other people's houses. They would pray together. They would hear preaching. And Aquila and Priscilla was part of this opportunity to receive the message as well as to worship. And we are simply reminded of the discipline of faithfulness, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. By the way, the day is approaching. We love prophetical preaching. It intrigues us. But you know what prophetical preaching ought to do? It ought to strengthen our present living for the glory of God. And one of those verses is Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. We see the day approaching. We understand the prophetic implications. It is waxing worse and worse, and it doesn't matter what's going on in our nation or in the world. God has given us this opportunity to say, I am going to stay faithful to assembling together. There's going to be some that depart from us. There's going to be some that aren't faithful, but we will be disciplined in faithfulness. Then I want you to see with Aquila and Priscilla, they were disciplined in the Word of God. This is big. We got to read the verses again, beginning in verse 25. This man, Apollos, was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And if Aquila and Priscilla are in earshot at the moment of his preaching, or if the word was passed unto them, they understood something about this man, Apollos. I mean, could you imagine what it was like to hear an eloquent man like that? He was well instructed. He was fervent in spirit. He was somebody that if they took and posted on the wall, Apollos is coming to town. You got to come see. Hey guys, guess what? There's this preacher coming to town. You don't want to miss it. Aquila and Priscilla hear what he is preaching. And oh, they're talking about John the Baptist. Yeah, not the John the beloved disciple, but yeah, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, the one that Isaiah talked about. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he was in Jordan baptizing those. And as he was baptizing them, he begins to talk more about the baptism of John. But he does never get to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Something is missing in Apollos' preaching. You see, Aquila and Priscilla were disciplined in the Word of God. They knew that when they heard even an eloquent man speak, they were not going to be deceived in their mind. They knew better as to what the Word of God had to say. They were disciplined in the Scriptures. We ought to be somebody. Not just the teachers, not just the preachers. We ought to be somebody as an individual believer that says, I hunger and thirst. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey unto my mouth. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We have a hunger for what God's word has to say, and so we get in it. We learn what it has to say. We know the Scriptures, and He's still working on each of us. Here's what I have found over years now of preaching chapter by chapter through the Bible. I have learned that I forget so quickly. I keep my notes, I keep my outlines, and I get back to it. And I start reading through the Bible and reading. I had no idea that I even preached this before. I had forgotten that. I can relate even more now with Israel as I read through the Bible. Things that I have forgotten. We got to be disciplined in the Scriptures, guys. We're never going to fully arrive. We need the meat of the Word of God, like heavenly manna that disappears after that day. We need to take it in again. We need His living, lovely Word, and we ought to be disciplined in what it has to say. They were disciplined in faithfulness to God's house and in the Word of God, but then this is a big point, and maybe the biggest point of the message. They were disciplined in discipleship, not division. Look at it again, verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they spread it throughout the town. Don't you go listen to Apollos. That's not what they did. They didn't blast the name Apollos. I get this. Maybe it's while they're listening, Aquila and Priscilla begin to give one of those elbow bumps to one another. Doesn't something seem to be missing here? Yeah, he hasn't gotten to Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again. He only knows the baptism of John. Maybe he hasn't heard. Hey, honey, you know that really good dish that I really love that you make? Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and make that? I'm going to go over and talk to Apollos. I'm going to invite him over for supper. And we're going to have him over and we're going to talk to him because, hey, honey, we're not going to get involved in this division stuff. We are all about discipleship. Here's a man that may not know everything, and we want to be able to instruct him. And guys, this changes the look of a church. This changes what this church's reach is. Because one couple said, I am going to take interest in Apollos. Yes, he's bold. Yes, he's fervent. Yes, he can speak eloquently. But there's something he is missing. Maybe he's never heard. Let's expound unto him. So they take him to him, and they begin to teach him because they're disciplined in discipleship, not division. We were preaching in Wasilla, Alaska. A farmer retired up in Alaska from Wyoming. In Wyoming, the state, this farmer said, Justin, I want to share something with you that I saw happen on my farmland. I made a big old pond in one corner of my field. And I took goldfish, and I put goldfish in that pond. He said, Justin, do you know how big goldfish can get? I said, well, yeah, but they never got that big for me because they always died in the bag when I got home from the fair. He said, Justin, these fish were huge. And one day I walked out, and I looked into the pond, and I literally saw one of the goldfish rolling over, about to go belly up, which means it's not good for this goldfish. He said, what I saw next challenged me. He said, out of the depth over here came one goldfish and another goldfish from this side, and they flipped over their goldfish friend that was about belly up. They flipped over the fish right side up, and they started swimming back and forth on the surface just under in that pond. He said, day two, I came out and I witnessed one little goldfish swim away and another one take its spot as these two strong goldfish would help their weaker, infirmity-filled goldfish swim back and forth. And he said, day three, I got to see something wonderful. Day three, I saw that the one who had gone belly up was now perfectly fine, swimming around as if everything was okay and nothing had ever happened. And I ask you the question, what would have happened to that one goldfish who was about to go belly up if the other two didn't take interest in him? Sometimes we've got to look beyond ourselves and what is going on in our life to see the need in somebody else's, that the stronger may be able to support the weak, that the ones who are in meekness in the Spirit of God can help the one who is overtaken by a fault, and you're able to minister to them, you're able to instruct them, you're able to come alongside of them. You and I know that not everybody that receives instruction receives it well. Think about Apollos. Think about in verse 26 how it says, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Apollos, well, he could have been like this. Who are you? I have position. I proclaim the word all the time. Don't you think I know what I'm saying? But according to the scriptures, that's not how Apollos handled this. Because if you read the next verses, we see it says in 27, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, all because of the influence of this couple who were discipled in or disciplined in discipleship and not division. Here's what I want to ask you. Are you good at receiving correction? You know, the flesh doesn't like to receive correction because your flesh in its pride will say, I know this. I'm doing right. I'm right where I need to be. There's a story in my life. When I first started preaching, a married man was I. We were down in Alabama, just north of Birmingham. And we were part of a meeting that preacher friends of mine invited us to. And this meeting had several pastors there and their wives, and a camp director was leading the meeting. And I had my first opportunity as a young preacher to preach to all of these other preachers. That is a mental battle, believe me. But I mean, I get up there and I preached and I made sure I was done within 15 minutes. Then I sat down and I walk outside the chapel that evening and was standing there kind of on a little hill, and I had lots of sweet older ladies come by, cold hands, warm heart, they would say. And as they came by, they would say, oh, Brother Justin, thank you so much. Two things that'll destroy you: man's applause and mocking criticism. You've got to know how to handle both of those things. So in this story, these couples are, oh, Brother Justin, it's so good to see young men called to preach, which it is. And they're seeing all these good things. And then, Marine, now a pastor, comes walking out, staring me down, squares off at me, looks me in the eyeballs, puts his finger in my chest, and he says this, you're nothing. You know what I said? The only thing I knew to say, yes, sir. We became great friends after that. That's what started it, though. At that moment, I had a choice to either say, what is that guy talking about? Or to acknowledge and understand that any of us can be so full of pride that we need our head popped. I hope you understand the English there, right? We need to come off of those lofty places and humble ourselves. And I remember this older man, this Marine of the day, and then now a pastor. We'd go to Virginia where he was living, and we'd have porch time together, and we'd swing back and forth, and he'd ask me such questions. He'd say, Justin, how's your prayer life? Justin, how's your scripture reading? Justin, how are things going in your life? Hey, Justin, what are you reading right now that's helping you? He became a good friend. And I'm thankful for somebody like that in my life. Young people, if you've got somebody who's willing to help you see some part of yourself that maybe you're not seeing right now, don't throw that person out of your life. You need that person in your life. They're going to help build you and shape you and instruct you as iron that sharpens iron. Thank the Lord for others who are able to invest in us. And here's Aquila and Priscilla, who saw Apollos, invested in him, and it changed things. And that leads me to point three. This couple was helpful. You've got to go to Romans 16 and you've got to see these points real quick. You've listened so well all week, but I want you to see what it says in Romans 16. Here in Romans 16, as we see the help, the type of help that this couple was, it challenges me and I hope it challenges you. God's couple was helpful. It says in Romans 16, verse 3, as it's being written, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. This tells me at some point, Aquila and Priscilla were no longer with Paul. This tells me that they have the interest of God's man, and they were recognized at being a help to the ministry. And when you think down to just the foundation of who you are in your place in this congregation, here's the question. Are you known as a helper in Christ Jesus, or are you known as somebody that hurts others? Are you known as somebody that hinders the work? As we consider the opportunity that we have to help, this is a wonderful title that Aquila and Priscilla had. Sometimes it's overlooked. This is a passage of Scripture that is seldom thought upon. But when you begin to think upon this, we're not just talking about Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. They went down in the Bible as people who lied to the Holy Ghost and deceived their fellow man, and God took them out of here. We're talking about a couple in the Bible, Aquila and Priscilla, who showed themselves a pattern of good works, a couple that the youngers in the church could look up to and maybe say, hey, when we grow old, we want to grow old together like Aquila and Priscilla. We don't just want to have love together. We want to have love for the Lord together. We want the world to know the light that shines through us. And here's the testimony of Priscilla and Aquila. They were helpers in Christ Jesus. In verse 4, it goes further. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I don't know the implications of that, but I can only imagine, like other stories in the Acts of the Apostles, that there needed to be somebody who took the brunt end of something so someone could get away. And maybe Aquila and Priscilla meet that kind of bill when it's said right here. Aquila and Priscilla risked their necks for the man of God. They risked their life's sacrificial service, but not only does it say, of unto whom only not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Aquila and Priscilla's name wasn't only known by Paul, but Aquila and Priscilla was known by all the churches of the Gentiles. Whatever they did, the stand, whatever it was that they took, the sacrifice, whatever it was that they made, it was helpful for Christ Jesus. So many times we have the tendency of running. So many times we have the tendency of turning away. When things get bad, we run. And I don't know. I'm not going to stand here and say it's going to be soon. But if history repeats itself, it's not going to take much for persecution to come to even America. I mean, we're talking about decades of prosperity and decades of God's blessing, but now we see this decline in our country, and yet we recognize the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And oh Lord, we are forgetting you. And could it be that judgment needs to begin in the house of the Lord? And we need to question tonight, are we available? Are we disciplined? Are we going down as helpers? Or are we looking to get so far away from this thing? And maybe it would be just a young person who would simply rise up in their life and say, not just in a moment and an altar call, but a decision that lasts a lifetime that says, I will not be offended in Christ Jesus. I will be faithful unto death, even if hard times come, or sticking my neck out for somebody else who's faithful to preach the gospel, then I will do that because the faith means something. And by the way, you're reminded, I'm in a strait betwixt two. Having a desire to depart and to be with Jesus, which is far better, but nevertheless, it is more needful that I be with you, Paul would say to the Philippian church. We understand it's going to be great to go home. But God has purpose for us here. And it's easy in moments like this to say, I will stand. And we could be like Peter who says, Lord, I won't let anybody hurt you. Lord, I won't back down. And we could be like Peter who Jesus looks at him, Satan has desire to sift you as wheat. And when that cock crows, you already have denied me thrice. And in Luke 22, the Bible says that when the eyes of Peter and the eyes of Jesus met, that Peter remembered the word of the Lord and he went out and he wept bitterly. It's amazing how scripture recall was in Peter's mind. And it challenged him who in his pride said, Lord, I will stand. It ought to be in humility. Lord, it's possible that tough days are coming. And I'm asking you for that grace and mercy. I don't want to be offended in you. And I want to stand for you. And I want to do so in humility in hopes that others will turn to you, even if it's like Stephen, who in his deathbed would pray a prayer of forgiveness for those around him. Or maybe it's having another opportunity to proclaim Christ even after sticking your neck out. There ought to be a dedication to God because He was so dedicated to us. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. And He went to the cross and died there for our sins. Then I want you to see what it says in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. At some point, they were willing to open up their home. I think back of the history that I've learned of this church. I've heard some stories of how some sweet folks in this church would encourage their pastor over and over again. I've heard how wonderful it is to be part of grace from so many different angles. But you know how easy it is for a wedge to get driven into something? All it takes is a little tip and a little force, and now something begins to separate. And something as sweet as what's gone on here can be torn apart. God, I want to be helpers in this thing. I want to ask you to help me to play a role that changes things, not just in my life, but in those around me, my family, as I have the privilege of leading them and the opportunities that I have to go forward to encourage other people. Your life matters. Here's what I've understood as I've traveled, and I don't know. We don't know when God's going to come back. We don't know if we're going to have another opportunity to come back to this place. We'd love that. But here's what we've seen. Sometimes we've come back to places. Justin, I don't know what's happened. I mean, it has just been a train wreck since you were here last time. Or, Brother Justin, you wouldn't believe it. You know that one that got saved during revival? They got on fire. And look, Justin, look over there. Somebody else is coming with them now. Or look at this family over here that's joined our church since you last were here. Justin, look at God, what God is doing. We're experiencing the grace of God and the Lamb of the living and how wonderful it is. Each of us play a part and a role in helpers in Christ Jesus. Are we willing to say, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm willing to be a little disciplined. Lord, I'm willing to help. Here am I. Use me. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to rejoice in your goodness. I do pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would be interested in knowing the way of everlasting life, that they would be willing to speak and find out more about your grace and truth. As believers, we look into your scriptures and we're encouraged by this couple. I pray that we would have a long-term, long-standing testimony of being used for your glory, even in the simplest of ways, or sometimes in the most sincere and imperative ways. I ask you for that grace. Humble us now. Help us not to be lifted in pride, and help us to be dedicated to being simple helpers for you. We love you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet together as Pastor comes to close the invitation.